Good morning. I'm going to read from the Bible, Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5, reading the passage beginning at verse 8. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 8. Woe to those who join houses to house to house, they add field to field, till there is no place where they may dwell alone in the midst of the land. In my hearing, the Lord of hosts said, truly, many houses shall be desolate, great and beautiful ones without inhabitant. For 10 acres of vineyard shall yield one bath, and a homer of seed shall yield one ephah. Woe to those who rise early in the morning, that they may follow intoxicating drink, who continue until night, till wine inflames them. The harp and the strings, the tambourine and flute and wine are in their feasts, but they do not regard the work of the Lord. Now consider the operation of his hands. Therefore my people have gone into captivity, because they have no knowledge. Their honourable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore Sheol has enlarged itself and opened its mouth beyond measure. Their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he who is jubilant shall descend into it. People shall be brought down, each man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God who is holy shall be hallowed in righteousness. Then the lamb shall feed in their pasture, and in the waste places of the fat ones strangers shall eat. Woe to those who draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin as if it were a cart rope, that say, let him speed and hasten his work, that we may see it. Let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw near and come, that we may know it. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe to men mighty at drinking wine. Woe to men valiant for mixing intoxicating drink, who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away justice from the righteous man. Therefore, as the fire devours the stubble and the flame consumes the chaff, so their root will be as rottenness and their blossom will ascend like dust. Because they have rejected the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore the anger of the Lord is aroused against his people. He has stretched out his hand against them and stricken them, and the hills trembled. Their carcasses were as refuse in the midst of the streets. Amen. A rather depressing reading, you might think. Isaiah, living a long time ago, he's looking out at the society of which he was a part, of the world in which he lived, and he sees an awful lot of people who have no time for God. And I suspect if Isaiah were around today, or God were to resurrect him temporarily, he would see the same thing. People might dress differently, they might speak different languages, but essentially, there is nothing new under the sun. And so in verse 8, we have a description of people who live for wealth. Woe to those who join house to house, they add field to field, till there is no place where they may dwell alone in the midst of the land. Here is a description of people who are wanting to get rich. Here is a description of people who are indeed getting rich. They have a house, but they're buying up their neighbor's house, they're joining it. So they have an even bigger house, and they have a field, but they're buying all the fields around it. And from a capitalist point of view, from a business point of view, these people are doing marvellous work. But from a spiritual point of view, it says, woe, woe to those. Let them stop. Let them consider. Let them think. Here is people. Here is a people whose only aim, whose only ambition is to enrich themselves. And Isaiah is looking at his society and saying woe to them. And Isaiah speaks to our society and says woe to them also. You know, in ancient Israel, when the tribes moved into the land, in one respect, nobody really owned anything. It belonged to the family, it belonged to the tribe. Even if you sold a parcel of land, you were only leasing it for up to 50 years, at which point it would revert back to its original ownership. You could lease, but you couldn't buy. In the 50th year, the year of Jubilee, the land would return back to its original family. A great and salient reminder that we don't own anything in this world. Don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with decorating a house, there's nothing wrong with wanting to move somewhere a bit bigger, somewhere a bit more comfortable, somewhere with a nicer garden. But if buying a bigger house and a better house and another land and another farm and another business and another this and another that and another everything else means that that is all you're living for, Isaiah says, woe to you. Because let me assure you, friends, the time is coming when God will demand from every one of us our soul. And all those things which we have acquired will go to another. Jesus told a parable of the rich farmer. I've referred to it on several occasions when I preached. It's a great parable. And the farmer knows a bumper crop is coming. So he tears down his old barns and he erects new ones in order to store his wealth. But there's one thing upon which he has not taken account. And that is that night God demands his soul. And Jesus says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? Jesus was once in a conversation at which the Jews were trying to trap him. And they say, should we pay tax to the Roman emperor? And it's one of those questions whereby no matter what answer he gives, he's going to offend a certain group of people. If he says, yes, we should pay tax to the emperor, essentially he is annoying the crowd because the crowd don't want to be a part of the Roman Empire. They don't want to pay tax to a foreign ruler. They don't want to pay tax to the emperor. If, however, he says, no, don't pay tax to the emperor, he offends the Romans who are also listening. And he becomes a traitor and he becomes a dangerous man. And I'm sure I don't need to quote the answer, but I shall do anyway. Render unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but render unto God what belongs to God. Whose image was on that coin of that denarius? There was an image of the emperor. The image of the emperor was on it, therefore give it to him, it's his. But the Bible says that human beings are made in the image of God. Oh, no doubt that image is marred and shattered and not half as beautiful as it ought to be because of the fall, because of sin, because of corruption. And yet, if you're made in the image of God, your life needs to belong to God. It needs to be given to God. Render to God that which belongs to God. James in chapter 1 verse 11 says, the rich man will fade away even while he goes about his business. The rich man is going about his business, improving his business, making himself wealthy, exchanging silver for gold. But James says the rich man will fade away because the rich man of which James speaks is a man who is poor in the eyes of God, even though he be rich in the eyes of men. In the 25th of Leviticus, it says, the land must not be sold permanently because the land is mine. And you are but aliens and my tenants. Wow. What a powerful passage. Now I appreciate this was particularly speaking about the Israelites living in ancient Israel. And yet of course in a very real sense it applies to us also. You may rent your home from a landlord, in which case when you no longer live in it, it goes back to him. If he wants to, he can ask you to leave. But you might own your own home, with or without a mortgage. And yet I believe this passage in Leviticus, though we do not live in ancient Israel, applies to us as well. We are but tenants in everything we have. We can be asked to leave. It's only given to us by the grace of God. And yet Isaiah is speaking of people who forget those divine truths, who do nothing but run after wealth. In my hearing, the Lord of hosts said in verse 9, truly many houses shall be desolate. Great and beautiful ones without inhabitant, for 10 acres of vineyard shall yield one bath, and a homer of seed shall yield one ephah. Isaiah is predicting the time when all these rich people, which he can see, all these rich people with whom he's familiar, and he was a prophet of the court, he would have known these rich people. The time is coming, says Isaiah, when even their great houses shall be empty. Isaiah may be thinking of the exile to Babylon, when the Jewish people, for all their years of idolatry, were required to leave the land of Abraham and dwell by the rivers of Babylon. When the houses of the wealthy were burned and spoiled and ransacked and given to Babylonian overlords. For 10 acres of vineyard shall yield one bath, and a homer of seed shall yield one ephah. In other words, what land you have shall yield such a poor crop, it won't be worth having. One commentator says that according to this calculation, if you were to sow 220 litres of seed, the crop that it would produce would be only 22 litres of grain. In other words, it's not worth it. Isaiah is saying here that human wealth amounts to nothing. And if all we do in our life is pursue wealth, that is a wasted life. And it is a wicked life. And it's a life alien to God. Here though, Isaiah says in the 55th chapter, he invites you to make an investment. I had someone phone me up the other day saying that for only £20,000 they would give me a 10% investment every year, a return on my investment. I don't know where they got my number from. I asked them not to phone me again and to remove my number from their mailing list. I have no interest in investing £20,000, even if I had such a sum of money. But here, says Isaiah, is an investment worth making. In verse 1 of 55 it says, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat." How can Isaiah invite those who have no money to come, buy and eat? Because that which is for sale, that which is on offer, cannot be purchased with silver or gold or checks or banknotes. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on that which is not bread, and your labour on that does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. There are a lot of people in Britain who are paid incredibly high salaries, but they are so miserable. Now, it's something of a cliche, isn't it, that money doesn't make you happy. And when I've heard people say that before, I've been sat in the pew thinking, well, I'd like to find that out for myself. Thank you very much. Because being poor doesn't necessarily make you happy either. And yet Isaiah is saying here, if you want happiness, if you want fulfillment, if you want peace, you will not find it in a bank statement. You will not find it in a large house. You will not find it in an investment. You'll find it in having a relationship with God. And people who do nothing but pursue wealth, who join house to house, that add field to field, are not interested in the things of God. And therefore, woe to them. So here we have the pursuit of wealth. The second section of the passage is concerned with those who do nothing but pursue pleasure. Verse 11, woe to those who rise early in the morning that they may follow intoxicating drink. These are not just people who go to the pub every night and drink too much. They actually get up in the morning and go straight to the pub because they can't wait to get more. Who continue until night, till wine inflames them. The harp and the strings, the tambourine and the flute and wine are in their feasts. If you were to attend a pub or a nightclub today, you're probably not likely to hear a harp or a tambourine. But we have our own musical instruments of equivalence. Here is people who live to party. These are the playboys of ancient Israel. Such people are still around. They seek nothing but pleasure. In Proverbs chapter 20 we read, wine is a mocker and beer a brawler. Whoever is led astray by them is not wise. A lot of Christians 100 and 150 years ago decided not to drink. They would sign the pledge. I need to be clear that Scripture, I believe, does not forbid Christians from drinking alcohol. Timothy was invited to drink wine. As a Christian, though, I ought not to seek pleasure and fulfillment and peace and security and drowning all my sorrows in the wine cup. Solomon was an ancient king of Israel who had wealth, he had power, he had peace. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, we have something autobiographical that he wrote. He said, I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my work, and this was the reward of all my labour. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done, and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind, nothing was gained under the sun. Here is a man who had everything. He had wives, he had concubines, he had palaces, he had fortifications, he had chariots, he had international respect. To this day we know him as Solomon, as the wise king of Israel. He even had the privilege of building the temple of God. And yet he realized that when he looked back and surveyed all his achievements, they were all meaningless. And one of the themes, one of the points of the book of Ecclesiastes is that fulfillment only comes from God. Because you are not just a body. You are a spiritual creature. You are a child of eternity. And when you fill your eternal heart with the things of this world, they do not satisfy. Like Solomon, you begin to realize they are meaningless. Isaiah continues. Of these drinkers and drunkards, but they do not regard the work of the Lord, nor consider the operation of his hand. There's nothing wrong with wanting to have a bigger house. There's nothing wrong with hoping and perhaps even asking for a pay rise at work. There's nothing wrong with enjoying the fruit of the vine. The problem, though, is that they do not regard the work of the Lord, nor consider the operation of his hand. Solomon continued in chapter 3 and verse 11 of Ecclesiastes, God has set eternity in the hearts of men. And when we ignore the eternal aspect of life, woe to us. A couple of hundred years ago, a man called Jeremy Bentham tried to develop a new way of working out right from wrong. One that doesn't require the Bible, one that doesn't require God. It's called utilitarianism. Actually, it's always been around, but he gave it a new name. And utilitarianism basically says, if something causes pleasure, then it's good. And if something causes pain, then it's bad. And there's been various developments of it philosophically over the years. It's slightly more complicated than that. You look at the intensity of the pleasure and the extent of the pleasure and the duration of the pleasure. But ultimately, if you enjoy it, it's good. And if you don't enjoy it, it's bad. Well, when it comes to ethics, I think Jeremy Bentham won. Most people in our world live for pleasure. Isaiah continues in verse 13. Therefore my people have gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. Their honourable men are famished and their multitude dried up with thirst. So the rich people in the first part of the passage, those who keep extending their houses, the time is coming when their houses will be desolate. Here are the people who do nothing but sit drinking all day and all night, but the time is coming when they will be thirsty. Those that feasted and drank are now hungry. Therefore Sheol, Hades, the grave, therefore Sheol has enlarged itself and opened its mouth beyond measure. Those who ignore God satisfy the thirst of Sheol. Their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he who is jubilant shall descend into it. People shall be brought down, each man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment. Those who ignored God through their drinking and feasting and merrymaking, through their acquisition of wealth and wealth and more wealth, in their judgment, God will finally be exalted in their lives. We can glorify God in this life, or he will be glorified at judgment. And God who is holy shall be hallowed in righteousness. Then the lamb shall feed in their pasture, and in the waste places the fat ones strangers shall eat. Here the very animals which are being consumed as food are now themselves able to eat, because the consumers have themselves been consumed. The third category of people to whom Isaiah says woe are the scoffers in verse 18. Woe to those who draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin as if it were a cart rope, that say, let him make speed and hasten his work that we may see it. Let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw near and come that we may know it. You might think, well, they're perfectly good questions. These are good people. Yet Isaiah says woe to them. These are the mockers. These are the scoffers. Where is your God? Jesus said he'd come back. He's been a long time, hasn't he? You're praying to someone you can't even see. We've all been mocked. Isaiah says, woe to them. Woe to them that doubt God's work and doubt God's words and mock it. Peter writes in his second epistle, chapter 3, first of all, you must understand that in the last days scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. The third category of people to whom Isaiah says woe are those who mock the things and the word of God. He will keep his promise. He will return. He will put right that which is wrong. He will answer prayer. His word will not return to him void. In verse 20 it says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe to those who use their God-given intelligence and mental faculty to oppose God and his statutes. We live in an age in which people decide for themselves what is right and what is wrong. The government thinks it can redefine marriage. Judges 21:25. In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit. We are living in those days again. People refuse the lordship and kingship of King Jesus, and they make themselves petty kings on the thrones of their hearts, and they each decide what is right and what is wrong. And evil they call good, and good they call evil, and sweet they call bitter, and bitter they call sweet. Oh, morality is just a matter of opinion. You've got your opinion, I've got mine. I see things differently to you. No. God determines what is right, and God, via his word, determines what is wrong. It's not philosophy. It's not popes. It's not church traditions. It's not past experience. And it's not reason. Martin Luther said, reason is a whore. Cannot be depended upon. It's corrupted. It's fallen. It's unreliable. You smack a child and the world calls you evil. But if a man fornicates with another man, that's okay. Bitter is sweet and sweet is bitter. Good is evil and evil is good. Verse 22. Woe to men mighty at drinking wine. Woe to men valiant for mixing intoxicating drink, who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away justice from the righteous man. People who behave unjustly towards each other. Therefore, as the fire devours the stubble and the flame consumes the chaff, so their root will be as rottenness, and their blossom will ascend like dust, because they have rejected the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore the anger of the Lord is aroused against his people. He has stretched out his hand against them and stricken them, and the hills trembled. Their carcasses were as refuse in the midst of the streets. Isaiah, I think, is seeing the time when the Babylonians are unleashed on Israel for what they have done. Jesus said in the 17th of Luke, "Just as it was in the days of Noah, so also will it be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating, drinking, marrying, and being given in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all." In the days of Noah, when violence filled the earth. In the days of Lot, the pursuit of pleasure and sexual excess. There is nothing new under the sun. So, upon what note can I finish? Well, let's reverse the points that Isaiah has made. If those who pursue nothing but wealth, it's woe to them. Blessed are those who find and seek the Lord, who realize that the wealth of this world is passing away, and set their heart on treasure in heaven instead of treasure on earth. Woe to those who pursue nothing but pleasure, but blessed are those who live a life of service and love and obedience to God. Of course, the irony is when you become a Christian and the Holy Spirit is at work in your heart, you derive pleasure from serving. You derive pleasure from giving. You derive pleasure from letting someone else go before you. Woe to those who mock and don't believe God when he speaks in his word, but blessed are those who are prepared to trust him, to believe in his word in the Bible and accept it. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, bitter sweet and sweet bitter, but blessed are those who live their lives according to God's word, his way instead of our way, his standard instead of our standard, his will instead of our will. If you've been watching the news this week, it's Paris, 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 isn't it? And that's an extreme example of people doing incredibly evil, horrible things, but thinking they do right by it. That is the ultimate expression, I think, of what Isaiah saw. But would that we can be a people that want to live God's way instead of our way. Amen.